Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everyone, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today my special guest is Rebecca Overton, Head of Recruitment at Molloy Cap 21. Thanks so much for joining us today, Rebecca.
Thank you for asking me.
My pleasure, of course. Always great to see you. So we always like to get to know the person before the program around here. So if you could tell us a little bit about your history in the performing arts that led you to Molloy Cap 21.
Sure. So I did not get a BFA in musical theater. I'm also much older than most of you listening to this. And back in the day, there were very few musical theater BFA training programs. There was, you know, UMichigan, CCM, Carnegie Mellon, BOCO, Ithaca, NYU, and there might have been a couple of other ones, but if there were, those were not nearly as well known as they might be now. And that's really it. You know, you could get a drama degree, and I wasn't thinking that I wanted to do this as a career. So I went to Providence College, and I started out pre-med, actually, and then pretty quickly switched to English. And then I was taking so many theater classes just for fun that I ended up with a double major in English and theater. But it was not a performance-based degree. You know, I did plays, I did shows, you know, but more for fun than anything else. And while I was kind of deciding what I wanted to do with my life, I auditioned for Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, which was where I had spent all of my summers growing up, and I thought it would be really fun to perform there, and I booked my first gig. So I spent my summer as a 21-year-old college graduate doing 5 shows a day in 99-degree heat and humidity, and I loved every minute of it. And while I was there, a friend of mine told me that they were having auditions in New York City for the national tour of 42nd Street. Now, I am not a musical theater nerd. I always loved musical theater, but I was not, you know, kind of embarrassingly uneducated about musical theater. I'm a little better now, but I just always loved it. You know, if there was a show, I would do it. I'd audition for it. I didn't know what it was about, you know, and I didn't understand the concept of like researching a show and knowing the characters before you audition. I mean, like I said, this was many years ago where you could get away with that kind of stuff. It doesn't work as well now. You know, a little bit more is expected, I think, of performers. But, you know, to my luck, it kind of worked out for me. And he told me I'd be a great Peggy Sawyer. And I was like, yeah, I sort of know the show. So I drove into New York City and I lied. I took a bus in, because that's kind of part of the story, into New York City for these auditions. He told me where they were. I showed up with not a book. Like, y'all know what a book is. I didn't have a book. I had like one piece of sheet music, like one song that I knew how to sing. And I brought my tap shoes, which I hadn't used since I was about 11. And I showed up at the audition, which was somewhere downtown, and walked in and went up to the person sitting there, and I said, hi, I'm here to audition for 42nd Street. Well, as it turns out, it was agent appointments only that day, and they were seeing Dorothy Brock's and Maggie Jones's, and I was 21. So they said, well, who are you here for? And I said, my friend said I'd be a good Peggy. And they were like, are you kidding? And I said, no, is it okay to audition? They were like, hang on a minute. So they went in, they talked to the director, they talked to whoever, and they came back out and said, yeah, you know, we'll see you, but if you don't mind waiting 2 or 3 hours. And so I did. I sat there. This is before iPhones and cell phones. You know, I sat there with my book, you know, reading my book. And then I went in, you know, after about 2-3 hours, I sang my song. They asked me if I knew how to tap, and I said, yeah, I mean, I used to tap. I mean, I can still tap. And they were like, okay. So basically, anyone who knows 42nd Street, I am the character of Peggy Sawyer without knowing it. So I put my tap shoes on. They teach me a combination. I picked it all up. I was like, yeah, I love tap. And so they had me read some sides. And they said, where are you from again? And I was like, well, I'm from New York, actually. I'm from Long Island, but I'm working in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I took the bus in. Peggy Sawyer is from Allentown, Pennsylvania, takes the bus into New York City. They must have thought that someone was like punking them and there was, you know, a candid camera somewhere. And looking back on this, like, if I were the best actress in the world, I could not have pulled that off. I had like ignorance really is bliss, because I left and I was like, okay, thanks, bye. Literally 48 hours, they called and offered me the lead in 42nd Street, Peggy Sawyer. So that was my first, that's how I kind of got involved in this professionally. And then I kind of never stopped. I worked for Disney Cruise Line after that, and my Broadway debut was in Saturday Night Fever, which was from an open call. I didn't have an agent. I just went to an open dance call. And then I was, I moved to Colorado. My husband got his PhD there and had two kids. And then when I came back, I went to another open call for Jersey Boys and ended up the swing in Jersey Boys for 3 years. So I think I've had a less traditional career path than some people in musical theater, but you know, I think I'm living proof that there are many paths, and but I would not recommend being as terribly unprepared as I was.
That's so funny that you're telling this story. We just the episode before you was Jacob Brent, and he was telling the story about how he was cast as Mr. Mistopheles, and he got cast because he called up the casting director and just said, "I think I'm perfect for your show. You should see me." And they did. They saw him the next day, and he was cast. I love stories like that. That's
why not?
Awesome.
You know, I mean, sometimes you just sometimes not knowing can work in your favor, because otherwise you get in your own way. And right. I started getting in my own way as I got older and realized, oh my God, I really don't know what I'm doing. And I started overthinking everything, and that's sort of how I ended up coming to Molloy Cap 21, because I hadn't performed in a long time. I was sort of in between types because, you know, eventually the ingenue ages out of being the ingenue, but I'm very small. You can't tell on, you know, I'm not on camera right now, and obviously you can't tell on a podcast, but I'm like 5'2". I'm very petite, so I appear very little on stage. So I didn't really age into the leading lady, because if you think about, you know, just the size orientation in shows, the leading lady tends to be taller. The mother tends to be taller so that she can they can be differentiated between the mother and the daughter. But I'm old enough to be the mother, but I don't read old enough on stage to be the mother. So I was, you know, going in and auditioning, and, you know, the casting directors all knew me, and they were like, "You sound great, Rebecca. Great to see you." Radio silence. I was like, okay, maybe we need to do something else here. And so I had a third child. That was something to do, you know, when you're in the having a career crisis, have a baby. Mm-hmm. Not recommended for those of you who are 17, 18 years old. Do not try this at home. I was plenty old enough at that point. Thank you very much. And then I, you know, I stayed home with my little one, McKenna, for quite some time. And she was about to go to kindergarten. And I saw this job posting for a theater recruiter at a local college, Molloy College. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. And I applied. It was a full-time job. I wasn't really looking for a full-time job. And I figured, well, you know, let's just see what happens. And then I had a couple of interviews, and it sounded like a good fit, and I booked the gig. And that's how I ended up in higher education. And, you know, only later found out that this position doesn't really exist at other schools. You know, most schools have separate departments that handle all the things that I do. So they'll, like admissions, for example, they'll have admissions counselors travel to the college fairs and, you know, hand out the brochures and talk about, you know, the various programs. And then the actual auditions are usually handled by some of the faculty members. Mm-hmm. But the way Molloy Cap 21 is set up, you know, all of our faculty have a full teaching load. And the former chair of the department, Henry Fonte, he had come from the University of Miami. And he had tried to retire out of University of Miami, and then they kind of begged him to come up to Molloy Cap 21, and he did, but he was in no way planning to travel all over the country. So that is why they sort of created this position, and they wanted someone who had a background in performance, a background in musical theater, who was able to actually adjudicate talent. And that is something that I feel like I've always been very good at, and I had sort of started to move into some casting opportunities, and I absolutely love being behind the table, so to speak, because my goal has always been to provide the energy and the warmth and the atmosphere for whoever is auditioning to do their best work. And I was always so grateful to the casting directors in New York. There were certain casting directors that I was always like, oh, thank God it's her, or thank God it's him. Because you knew that no matter what, you could go in, they were going to be unfailingly pleasant, polite, clear with what they were expecting you to do, and, you know, kind of create an atmosphere that you could show your art as opposed to your terror, you know? And so that's something that's really, really important to me working with high school seniors. I want students to genuinely feel that I care about them. And whether or not this is the right fit for the student, that's neither here nor there. They have the right to have a pleasant, professional, personal audition. And that's really what I pride myself on.
So Molloy College is a liberal arts college on Long Island.
Yep.
But when we're talking about the program, we say Molloy Cap 21. So why is that, Rebecca?
Why is that? Well, Tim, let me explain. So Cap 21 used to be one of the studios at NYU Tisch. So for those of you listening, you might be familiar with NYU, you know, a big university in New York. They have a studio system, and I'm not sure if it works exactly this way now, but back in the day, Cap 21 was created kind of as the best way to think of it is like an independent contractor. They kind of jobbed out their training at NYU. So there was Cap 21 was for musical theater. There was the Stella Adler Studio, I think. There were a few different studios that were privately owned and operated, but kind of managed by NYU. So Cap 21 for 20, 25 years was with NYU Tisch. And in 2011, the owners of Cap 21 decided to break away from NYU for financial reasons. They felt they weren't being adequately funded, and they thought that they might have just a better opportunity on their own. So they kind of changed their model to more of a two-year pre-professional training program, sort of like AMDA has in New York City, where you're getting just straight studio training without the general education credits. But the drawback of that is that it's still, you know, pretty costly to attend these programs, and you're not even getting an associate's degree. So that was sort of a hard sell in New York City. And the president of Molloy College at the time, his name is Drew Bogner. Drew's son, Ryan, is a Broadway producer, and he had a relationship with Cap 21 because one of the things that Cap 21 became known for in their later years was producing new musicals. So they had the Cap 21 Theater Conservatory that was, or rather theater company that was in addition to their training. They also presented new works. And so, you know, Broadway producers would go and check them out and see if it was something they were interested in picking up. So Ryan knew Cap 21 and basically went to his dad. My understanding is that he said, listen, this would be a great opportunity for Molloy because Cap is really looking to partner with another college again. And so they did like kind of parallel programs for about a year. And that was sort of messy. It was hard to kind of, you know, administer both. So ultimately, Molloy bought out the Cap 21 program. So those owners sold it to Molloy. But many of the faculty stayed intact through that whole period because it was never like an artistic battle. It was more of a financial issue. It wasn't like, oh, you know, there's rancor, you know, and everyone's angry. And it was, you know, everyone just kind of moved with Cap 21. And, you know, in fact, our program director, James Baleri, he's a graduate of the Cap 21 program when it was with NYU. So he's been with Cap 21 on and off for many, many years, either as a student or as an adjunct faculty, as assistant program director. He's had so many different titles, and he's seen kind of the evolution of the program, and now he is the program director. So he kind of runs all the day-to-day operations of the conservatory. So it's really great because he's seen it in all of its iterations, and he knows what works and he knows what doesn't, and he knows when changes need to happen. And, you know, he kind of knows the whole history. So it's, and he's also one of my favorite people. He is someone that your students will see if they choose to audition for us. James and I handle the bulk of the auditions, the live in-person auditions, which I do think we're going to have live auditions this year. But I also think we might stick to some virtual auditions as well, at least a couple of days of virtual options for students who aren't able to travel or it's too cost prohibitive to travel. So we're going to really try to open that up so that we can see as many students as possible.
Awesome. So I ask everyone to give me their elevator speech on their program. So in 60 seconds or less, could you please describe the musical theater program at CAP 20 or Molloy CAP 21?
Yes, I can. So the Molloy CAP 21 musical theater program is a true triple threat musical theater training program that is very actor focused. We want our graduates to be incredibly strong actors who can also sing in a wide variety of styles and confidently navigate dance calls as either a very strong mover or an excellent dancer. And one of the really cool things about the Molloy CAP 21 program is that it is the only program of its kind where our students actually study on two different campuses. The main campus is located in Rockville Center, which is a suburb of New York City. And then our Manhattan Center is in the city, as the name suggests, and that's the whole fourth floor of 50 Broadway in the Financial District. So the bulk of their studio training will actually take place in the city, and then their gen eds, as well as some of their studio classes, will take place on the main campus. So it, you know, it's a really great opportunity for students who aren't sure if they want to make that move right to the big city. They still sort of want a college experience. This really is the best of both worlds. How was that? 60
seconds?
It
sounds like it. I think that was about 60 seconds. So what does that look like then? Because studying on two different campuses, walk us through sort of what a freshman would experience.
Sure. So like a day in the life. Okay.
Sure.
So freshmen are on the main campus 3 days a week, and they are at the Manhattan Center 2 days a week. So their main campus days are going to feel more like a traditional college campus experience. They might be taking, you know, an art history class or English 101 or, you know, biology or whatever gen eds they still need to get out of the way. They might be taking those classes. And in addition, they'll be taking some combination of script analysis, acting tech, voice and speech, movement for the actor, all of those courses will happen on the main campus. Then on Mondays and Wednesdays, you go into the city as a freshman. So the school, Molloy, provides a shuttle bus. There's several of these shuttle vans that kind of rotate about a half an hour. There's a schedule that kind of starts at like 5:30 in the morning and goes all the way until sometimes midnight, 11 or midnight, back and forth from the main campus to the Rockville Center train station, which is about a 5-minute drive. You can actually walk it, but you wouldn't really want to be doing that if you're in a hurry. So the shuttle gets you there in about 5-10 minutes at the most if you hit the lights, and drops you right off at the base of the Long Island Railroad train station in the village of Rockville Center. And then you will get on the Long Island Railroad, which is the commuter rail. So this is sort of like what all of the, you know, area folks use to get into New York City for their jobs. So it's very well traveled. And Rockville Center is a very wealthy suburb of Long Island. So there are a lot of trains that go through there, as opposed to some of the other areas of Long Island where it's, you know, the trains are every hour and a half. Trains are usually like every 20 minutes from the Rockville Center train station. And that will zip you right into Penn Station, which is one of the main transit hubs of New York City. It's about a 35-minute train ride. And then from there, you stay in the same building and you actually go upstairs to the subway. Seems paradoxical, but you do. You go up a few flights of stairs and you either take the 1 train, which is the local, or the 2-3 train, which is the express. And the 1 takes about 15-20 minutes to get downtown, but it drops you off closer. And the 2-3 takes about 10 minutes to get down, but it drops you off like one block farther. So I always tell students, I'm like, if it's pouring rain, you probably want to take the 1 because you can pretty much get to 50 Broadway without ever really going outside. And the 2-3, if it's a lovely day, you're going to want to do that because it's a pretty walk and it's much quicker. And so that's it. So then you'll stay in the city all day doing your singing, dancing, and acting classes, your studio classes. And then usually the classes start around 10 o'clock in the morning and then are finished around 5 or 6 o'clock. And then you kind of do the whole commute in reverse back out to Long Island. And then the dorms are out on Long Island.
Awesome. And you said 2 days a week in Manhattan, 3 days a week on Long Island. So yes. Does that change?
It does.
Through the it does. Other years?
Yep. Sophomore, junior, and senior year at Flip-Flops, you are in the city 3 days a week and on the main campus 2 days a week. And as juniors and seniors, it often works out that many students come in with transfer credits, like dual enrollment credits from high school or AP credits. Molloy does take AP credits if you get a C or higher in your college classes. A 3 or higher on your AP exams. They will take those credits and those will transfer in and in most cases will knock out some of your general education requirements. So many of our juniors and lots of our seniors end up, if they're not minoring, they will have no more gen ed. So the only reason that they will actually go out to the main campus is for certain rehearsals because our main stage theater, the Madison Theater, is actually out on Long Island. So they'll go out there for rehearsals, but they won't have class out there. And also in the city, beginning sophomore year, you're eligible to take some dance electives. So those are offered on Saturdays. So depending on whether or not you choose to take the dance electives, sometimes you'll be in the city 4 days a week instead of 3 days a week.
Now you said go out there to the campus, but the students live at the dorms are at Molloy.
Yes, correct? But that's a good picking up on that, Tim, because the freshmen, all 99% of them choose to live on campus. Mm-hmm. But by sophomore year, I would say it's maybe 60-40. Most of our students by junior year choose to move closer to the city, if not into Manhattan, because they're in at the Manhattan Center more frequently than they're out on the main campus, they will often choose to move to Brooklyn or Queens, which is kind of equidistant between the two campuses. And several of the neighborhoods where our students tend to congregate and, you know, keep turning over the same apartments and the same buildings, there's parking there. So almost always there's somebody who has a car and they can jump in the car and go out to the main campus if they need to, as opposed to needing to navigate the Long Island Railroad. And then you're just zipping back and forth on the subway from whichever neighborhood you're in. And it's, you know, it's easier and closer and more cost effective. So from what I'm told, costs of attendance actually go down after your freshman year. Like when you move out of the dorms, it's actually less expensive, which I think is kind of a cool thing. But you can stay in the dorms. If you are a student that really doesn't want to live in Manhattan or doesn't feel that they, you know, or your family doesn't feel comfortable with you, you know, living in an apartment, you just need to apply for housing every year. And depending on your distance from campus, that's how they make those decisions. And of course, if there are any you know, extenuating circumstances that you have, you know, special needs that are met on campus, they certainly would allow you to stay in the dorms for all 4 years.
You also mentioned that the main stage theater is on campus, so that's a great segue into asking you about the performance opportunities at Molloy Cap 21.
Sure. So freshman year, we consider that to be a skill building year. So freshmen don't perform with the exception of some that they will do, you know, scene work and presentations called demos, which are kind of like juries in a high school setting or like in a college music program, where they are kind of adjudicated mini performances for the faculty and for their other classmates. So that is a part of your freshman year training, and then at the end of freshman year, there are some opportunities for our upperclassmen who are taking the directing and playwriting electives. They will sometimes use some of the freshman students for their final end of year presentations. But first and foremost, we really want to take the pressure off of students who have just spent this entire year auditioning for, you know, sometimes upwards of, you know, 30 musical theater programs, and all while trying to navigate senior year and senior year performances. And we have found that, you know, giving students that breather to really, really dig into their training and get these new skills into their muscle memory and start to really let go of any bad habits or unhealthy habits that they may have had in high school really lets them start the ground, hit the ground running when they start sophomore year. So then beginning sophomore year, our students will have one guaranteed performance opportunity every semester. So that's a total of 7 guaranteed performances. One of those will be the senior showcase. And, you know, that's something to think about. I'm sure you know this, Tim, that some schools actually have students have to audition for senior showcase, and our school doesn't. We require you to participate in senior showcase. That is part of your grade, part of your senior year grade, in your studio courses. And so another kind of cool thing about CAP 21 is that these performance opportunities are built right into the curriculum. So what that means is that every semester you're going to register for a 3-credit performance class, which is basically rehearsals for whatever show you're working on. We refer to them as the projects because they're different every year, and it depends on whether you are, you know, some years it's a book play, some years it's a book musical, some years it's more of, you know, some of the projects lend themselves more to like a song cycle or a musical review style. And then junior year, the pop rock project has started to kind of go back to the CAP 21 roots of presenting new works. So junior year, our students have, in recent years, had the opportunity to work on brand new musicals or musicals that have not been produced yet professionally. So for example, The Lightning Thief that was on Broadway for a while, Rob Rokicki, is one of our professors, and he had another show called Experience Marianas that he sort of started working on before Lightning Thief and then kind of revisited it, and it had never been produced. So our recently graduated seniors, when they were juniors, they got to do the world premiere of Experience Marianas, which was really cool, their junior year. And then there is your senior year main stage, which is your official main stage, your adjudicated main stage, which means that that is still considered a class and you are being given feedback on your performance and your rehearsal process. And it's, again, it's guaranteed that you're going to have some role in all of these performances. It may be ensemble, it may be a lead, it may be a featured performer. But unlike at many schools where there's lots of shows to audition for, you may not, in some institutions, you may not have the opportunity to actually set foot on stage because you're competing with a much larger department, sometimes with graduate students. And, you know, CAP 21 sort of came to this conclusion at NYU because NYU is one of those institutions that is so huge. The department is so big that many of their students were not getting cast. And so they created this performance structure, this project performance structure, to ensure that students actually have the opportunity to put those skills into practice and not just learning them in a theoretical or studio sense, but you're actually getting to perform these new skills, you know, kind of in a structured, scaffolded way. Then at the main campus, there are two performance groups there. The Madison Theater is actually a separately, not owned, it's owned by Molloy Theater, Molloy College, but it has its own artistic director. So the Madison puts up usually like 6 to 8 musicals per year. Sometimes they are concert versions, sometimes they are full-blown musicals, and then they also do every year a big Christmas show, they do something that they call the Disney Princess Tea, which is like a Disney review with Disney princes and princesses. And our Cap 21 students, as well as the rest of the campus, are eligible to audition for those shows, but it ends up being populated mostly by the Cap 21 students, because obviously they're the ones that are the experts in musical theater, you know, certainly in comparison to the rest of the students. And then the Molloy Performing Arts Club is a student-run group, and they usually do two big musicals a year also at the Madison. So there's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah. There's you know, I always explain to students the projects they come first, because they are your curricular performances and you are getting credit and you are getting graded on them. But the Madison and MPAC, they know that that comes first. So they give our students a lot of leeway with rehearsals and working around their project schedule to make sure that they can kind of fit it all in. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very busy. And some students are like, yeah, I don't want to do that this semester. I just want to focus on my project. And then other times they're like, you know, I'm up for the challenge, and they're doing two shows at once. So it's pretty cool.
Speaking of doing two things at once, you mentioned earlier that there are some students that minor in other things there. Talk to us about what that means. Is there a possibility for a double major in your program? That's not normally that common, but can students minor? What are some popular minors?
Yes, we absolutely can minor. A double majoring, we have yet to crack that code, simply because, for one, the two different campuses, it's very difficult to navigate not only the credits working out, but also going back and forth. You know, if you, let's just say you were double majoring in musical theater and English, you know, for argument's sake, your upper level English classes, like your 400 level English classes, which are going to be required for you to complete that major, they might only be offered on a Friday. And guess what? You're in Manhattan on a Friday. So it literally becomes a two places at once issue. So that is why we have not really figured out how to double major. But I would say 50 to 75% of our students choose to minor. And that actually works out really well. Popular minors, the most popular minor is music, because two of your studio requirements are co-seated with the music department. So music theory and harmonics and sight singing, those actually count toward a music minor. So that makes it easier to complete a music minor. And within the music minor, we have students who choose to kind of focus on composition, on music technology, on music direction. So that's not really like the title of the minor, but the music department is really flexible, and they are really great about kind of helping our students to hone in on what it is in the music department that they really want to focus on, which is very cool. Communications is another one that works well. Business management works very well. Marketing works very well, like those kind of business courses. But then we also have students who have graduated with a math minor or a physics minor, like completely unrelated, but it's just something that they had interest in and an aptitude for, and they continued it, or another language. You know, there's a list of over 30 minors on the Molloy website. And with rare exception, you know, if there is something of interest to a student, all they need to do is tell their advisor. As soon as they get to college, you know, as soon as they arrive at Molloy Cap 21, our students will have an academic advisor and an artistic advisor, two separate people. And they just need to tell both of their advisors that, hey, I want a minor. And that way their advisors are kind of on the same track with them, and they know how to help them lay it out so that they will graduate on time in 4 years with their minor.
And you said the school is about how far out of the city? 30?
As the crow flies, it's like 20 miles. It's really not that far. It's like two towns east of Queens. So on the train, it's about a 35-minute train ride.
Right. So for people who aren't from the New York City area, assume that, you know, Long Island is just an extension of New York City. But it's actually quite different out there in Rockville Center area. So can you talk a little bit about where the main campus is situated? I think everyone knows what Lower Manhattan is like, but talk to us a little bit about where the main campus is and what there might be able, what the possibilities are for students to do around that area should they want to leave the campus.
Sure, sure. That's actually a great question. So I mentioned earlier that Rockville Center is actually a very wealthy suburb of Long Island. It has, I don't know if you've ever been there, Tim, but it has like all of the houses are all these huge English Tudor and, you know, craftsman bungalow. Like they're gorgeous. I mean, the homes are stunning. And just south of Rockville Center is Oceanside and Long Beach and Jones Beach, which is a huge, very well-known beach on the south shore of Long Island. So it's about 15, the beach is like 15 minutes away from the campus. And on the weekends, the Molloy shuttles will make trips to Roosevelt Field, which is a huge mall in about 10 minutes away, 10, maybe 15 at the most, in Westbury. You can just Google Roosevelt Field and every store and eatery and that you could possibly imagine, movie theaters, you know, there's a huge Target up there. And the shuttles on the weekends will kind of travel all over. They'll take sometimes to the beach, they'll go to the malls. But actually the little village of Rockville Center is adorable. I mean, it has, you know, little shops and boutiques and it's like Fairfield, Connecticut. If you've ever been to Fairfield, it's like really kind of upscale shops and it's nice, you know, like, and mm-hmm. train stations tend to be like in a kind of like sketchy area. There really is no sketchy area of Rockville Center. And it's right in this little like town square. And there's this fancy high end restaurant right across the street, which why it went right out of my head. I want to say Chester's, but it's not that. It'll pop back into my head later, but it's really good. And it's right across the street and it's like this cute little area. And yeah, there's kind of lots to do around the campus. The campus itself is very residential. That's the best way to describe it. So it's not like, I don't know, like UMichigan or, you know, a college town where you walk off campus, or Boston. You know, it's not like you're walking around and there's, you know, tons of other college students walking around. So it doesn't really have that college town vibe. It feels more like a kind of small town, pretty upscale suburb. Lots of trees, brick buildings. But then, you know, every other day you're going into the city. So it's like everything you could possibly need, all of that buzz and energy is all right there. So it's the convenience of being so close to the city, but not actually living in the city, which anyone who has lived in the city, myself included, can tell you, it can be draining sometimes. It can be really exciting, but it can also be really exhausting. And sometimes it's really nice to be able to go back to a quiet residential area, you know, where there's trees and nature and hang out on the quad. And, you know, so it's kind of nice to just have that balance.
Right. So Molloy College was founded as a Catholic college. It mm-hmm. actually was named the number one Catholic college in New York State.
Yeah, very recently.
Yeah. So some of my students I know have the question, what does that mean as far as how that affects their education? Because some of the students obviously aren't Catholic.
Sure.
And just want to know how that is integrated into their education.
Absolutely. And that's really a great question. I mean, I know my own daughters included, they wanted nothing to do with any sort of religious school. And mm-hmm. that was like a real deal breaker for them. And I get that, you know. I will say that Molloy is really more in the Catholic tradition. It was founded by Dominican nuns in the 1960s. And if you are Catholic, like I am, you know that the Dominican nuns have always been a little bit more, let's say, progressive and a little bit more, they're kind of known as being like rebels, the Dominican nuns, you know, they have, you know, they're the ones that are out there kind of fighting the good fight for, you know, women's rights and for diversity and equity and inclusion. And they're kind of like quiet warriors, you know, and especially back in a time where the Catholic Church was not at all a priority to educate women. you know, the Dominicans started this as an all-female nursing college, and it quickly grew to the reputation of one of the best nursing schools in the country, certainly in the region. But now it's about 5,000 students, and we have all religions and no religions. You do not need to be Catholic to go there. There are various religious groups on campus. If you are of a different religion and want to continue to participate in that religion, we do have those groups available. But for students who are not religious at all, the only thing that you will need to do in your 4 years is take 1 3-credit theology class. And it does not need to be Catholic theology. There are 20 or 30 options in the theology catalog of what you can take. It can be world religions or Judaism or just something that you're interested in. It's really more of a history class than a theology class. It's not a practicing spiritual or religious class. You do not need to go to church. You do not need to dress in any specific way. You do not need to declare any sort of religion or any sort of following. That's really it. And I think that in terms of, like I said, I was born and raised on Long Island, went to Catholic school my whole life. So I have a, you know, kind of a unique perspective on that. And as far as what I have seen, Molloy is definitely on the more progressive side of Catholicism and mm-hmm. moving even more so in that direction. But again, there are opportunities. I've had students who really love the fact that it's college, that it's Catholic college, and they want to participate, like in the campus ministry, like music ministry. And they do, you know, they will, some of our students will, you know, song lead at the masses. Some of our students will accompany for the masses, you know, Catholic or not. So it's cool. It like provides, like a music ministry provides kind of an additional opportunity for students who are musicians, you know, just to play, even if they, and again, you don't have to declare anything. You're just playing for the mass, you know, it's like being an accompanist for an event. And, you know, some of our CAP 21 students have played piano or organ. So it's pretty cool.
Let's transition now and talk about the audition process. Let's start with numbers. How many applicants did you receive this past cycle?
Oh, Lord of mercy. This was a weird one. So complete applicants, we had about 650. Okay. And usually I see in a non-pandemic year, I will travel, I kind of start my traveling in the fall, and I will go to various conferences and festivals, and, you know, some audition coaches will have their own private auditions for their students, as I'm sure you know, and I'll go to all of those myself. So I will see, I'll also go to some real big ones like North Texas Drama and Greater Houston and Colorado Thespians. So I will actually sit through probably about 1,200 auditions. But of those students, not everyone will choose to apply to Molloy CAP 21. In those instances, I will call back the students that I'm interested in. And if they are interested in us, we'll have a conversation and they'll start the application process. If they're not, I just won't hear from them. So complete applications means students who actually applied academically to the college, who submitted their transcripts and their optional test scores for evaluation, and who also completed the pre-screen and live audition process. And it was a lot this year.
So pre-screens, how many pre-screens do you usually
receive? This was the first year that we required pre-screens, and we got close to 650. You know, for anybody to be invited to audition, we did have a few students who never submitted their pre-screen and, you know, chose to go elsewhere, I guess. But we got about 650 pre-screens. Yeah.
So then from those 650 pre-screens, how many went on to live auditions?
I tried to count that this morning for you, and I think it was between 250 and 300.
And then how many students do you aim for your incoming class?
I am very pleased to say 32. I've won that battle. At least this year. So let me explain my intensity there. Since I started at Molloy Cap 21, I may have mentioned earlier, I'm not sure if we were recording at this point, but my position is kind of an interesting position because I work in admissions, but I do everything through the theater department. So as I'm sure is the case in many college environments, there's always a battle between what the department wants and what enrollment management wants, especially during a pandemic. You know, so many colleges are struggling financially, and they want, you know, enrollment. But I have always kind of been in between having to, you know, do what my department tells me I have to do, and also understanding that eventually there's going to be a physical space limitation if we continue to have what I call bubble classes. The program was always set up for 32 with a maximum of 48. So that was sort of built in when Molloy took over Cap 21. And just for comparison, Cap 21, when it was at NYU, they sometimes had 80 students. It was a very big program. Because they had the physical space. They had the physical space to break into much smaller sections. We want to keep our sections small, and we always have. But eventually, we had these two bubble classes. Our current, our rising juniors and our rising sophomores were both in the 40s with very little attrition, which is very interesting. Because in any program, there's always attrition. You know, people decide, and for those of you who don't know what attrition is, it's when someone chooses to leave the program. So for whatever reason, sometimes you change majors. Sometimes it's a financial issue. Sometimes you decide you don't want to get a BFA in musical theater anymore. This training is not what you were looking for. So that happens in any college, in any major. You know, there is some change in the incoming freshman class. But what has happened the past, prior to this year, we've had these bubble classes and our students have stayed, which I think speaks very well of the program. They are happy with their training. In my time at Cap 21, we have not lost a single student to another BFA musical theater program. And I think that that's also speaks well of the faculty and the training. We have had some students decide that they don't want to do MT, and they decide that they want an acting program specifically. They don't want the singing training, they don't want the dancing training, and so they might leave for a BFA in acting. But 9 times out of 10, it's because they switch majors altogether, or go home, you know, to a local college, you know, whether it's family emergency or finances. But, you know, we keep a lot of these students. So what ends up happening is that if we were to continue running the program in the 40s, we need more rooms. We need more physical space. We can do it, but we need more physical space. And I think this year was the first year that the college was like, ooh, is that going to be cost effective? And we're like, yes, that's what we've been saying for the past several years. Do you really want to rent us more space in Manhattan? Because that's going to be costly. So This year, our incoming class at present is 35 with one student who is considering a deferral due to the pandemic, some personal reasons. But so we're right at 34, and that's really good. Like, that's significantly great. Smaller than last year, and that makes us very happy.
Oh, good. So for everyone out there listening, what type of student do you think should apply for the Molloy Cap 21 program?
I love
that
question.
What qualities do you look for?
Yeah, that's a great question and an important one, because I think that what we are really looking for is a curious student. We are looking for a student who is eager to train, who's eager to dive into this learning process. We are looking for students who are eager to be good humans. You know, we call it being an artist citizen. You know, we know you love musical theater. That's why you're trying to go into this as a career. That's why you're choosing to get a BFA in musical theater. But, you know, one of the questions that James Baleri will often ask in our auditions, he'll say, you know you love musical theater. Now, what do you want to do with it? And, you know, it's a rhetorical question. Do you want to be on Broadway? Sure, that's a valid goal. It's a goal of many musical theater performers. Do you want to tour? Sure. You want to play leading roles? You want to create a role? Yes. But what else? What else makes you tick as a human being? What's going to get you through those dry spells, you know, when you are an aging ingenue like me, you know? I mean, anyone who has lived any length of time in this business as a performer knows that there are ups and downs, and it is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, what we hope to create are young people who are graduating not only with excellent professional musical theater skills, but also with a strong sense of who they are as an artist and a human being, so that they can go out into the world and make a difference with what they're doing. So those kind of students tend to do really well in our program. You know, students who are, I keep using the word curious, but students who are just interested in the world around them. In terms of skill level, you know, kind of getting into the nitty-gritty, what we look for in an audition. First and foremost, what we want to see is natural acting. We want to see a very strong sense of how to tell the story through song, how to tell your story in your monologue. We're less interested in character work and accents, and all those things will come. If that's something that you do extraordinarily well, by all means, do that as a second piece, you know, a character piece, a comedic character piece. But somewhere in there, we want to see who you are as a person. So we always recommend age-appropriate material. You know, it's not helpful for us to see you playing a 60-year-old man if you're 18. You know, that's not something that you're likely to do for quite some time. So we like to see age-appropriate material. We do want to hear your voice. We want to hear that you either have a trained voice or the potential to be trained. You don't have to have a perfect voice. You do not have to belt high cues. You do not have to, you know, sing coloratura soprano. We just want to hear that you have a voice in there. We want to know that your voice can be trained. And as far as dance goes, strong dance training is a real plus, but it is not a requirement. We level all of our dance classes. So we do have students who come to us who are like, yeah, dance is not my strength. And that's okay, because we have, you know, real confidence in our faculty. And we're not looking to turn out New York City ballerinas. We're looking to, at the very least, turn out very strong movers who can hold their own in a dance call after they have sung or acted. And that's at the least. And then at the best, we want, you know, true triple threat musical theater performers who can go to a dance call first and knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for all of these curious students out there that are interested in Molloy Cap 21, where can they go to get some more information?
Can I give you they can email me. My email address is roverton, O-V-E-R-T-O-N, at molloy.edu. And I'm kind of the contact person. There's also our website, which is molloy.edu, and then you have to navigate to academics and undergraduate programs, and then you'll find the Molloy Cap 21 theater arts program. I should note, don't get thrown off by this. The degree is actually a BFA in theater arts. That's the title of the degree, but it is purely a musical theater triple threat training program. This has to do with that transition between NYU and Molloy. Molloy used to have a theater arts BA many, many years ago. And when the transition happened, it was actually easier for them to get this merger approved by the state by just reactivating the theater arts degree, as opposed to presenting it as a new degree. It would have taken the program like 2 years to get off the ground because of the state requirements. So that's why it's called a theater arts BFA, but it is a true musical theater training program.
Is there a BFA acting at Molloy?
There is not. Our department is the only department. And that's, I look at that as a plus because you're not competing with acting students. You're not competing with grad students. It can also be a detriment to certain students, and I get that because we also don't have a, because we don't have a dance BFA, you can't minor in dance. And I know a lot of students who are strong dancers really want to minor in dance. And at some colleges, you can do that. Like in a bigger department of theater and dance at such and such school, you can be an MT major and maybe minor in dance, taking classes with the dance program. But all of the dance classes that we have are created for our students specifically. So it's a very tailor-made program, you know, and it's the kind of program that I think what I have found is that students, we are so unique that students either look at it and are like, wow, this is where I want to be, or they're like, ooh, there's too many odd things there. And that's cool, you know, because it weeds out a lot of, you know, students who probably wouldn't be happy here, you know, and first and foremost for me, I'm looking for students who want to be here. I don't want to drag anybody kicking and screaming into our program because they won't stay. You know, my goal is to help everyone who auditions for us find the right fit for them, mm-hmm. whatever that might be.
Well, Rebecca, I always love sitting down to chat with you.
This was
awesome.
And
my students that meet with you at the auditions always fall in love with the program. And I think that that is in large part due to you and your energy and your excitement over the program. So,
thank you.
It was great to have you here. And I look forward to having you participate in some of our upcoming auditions and things, too, that we're working on. So
I can't wait.
Thanks so much for joining
us. I'm
very
excited.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks again and have a good day and we'll look forward to seeing you back here soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.